And now for something completely different.
Happy Hour. Happy Hour.
What's up? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy. And on the phone line, I've known this guy for, man, I don't even want to say how long, 11 years. On the phone line from the nationally syndicated Ace and TJ Morning Show. Ace is on Hoppy Hour. What's up, Ace?
Oh, proud to be back, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I have a lot of radio contacts in my phone book from like the Morning Show Boot Camp and all these interviews. And about a few weeks ago, I was looking through my phone book. And of course, I say phone book, but it was on my iPhone or whatever. That shows that I'm a 90s baby using the word phone book. And I was looking through all my contacts and I'm seeing all these people that I used to talk to on Bumble. And then I saw Ace and I was like, you know what? I need to connect with Ace again. It's been like 3 years. What's up, bro?
Oh, not a whole lot. Yeah, let's make clear. We were not connecting on Bumble or Tinder or anything like that. We just, we've known each other way longer than that. Yeah.
What do you think it would have been like if, I love asking this to Gen X radio hosts, what would it have been like if Bumble and Tinder was around in the 90s?
Oh, I know my life would have been a disaster. Because, you know, at the time when I first started doing radio, you had to take everybody's word for it. You do the drive-by. Somebody would call and you talk to them. They'd be like, hey, let's meet at the mall. I'll be wearing a red shirt. You'd drive by and see, like, oh, okay, she looks like what she says she does. Whatever. Not that I look like what I said I did at the time either. But, yeah, if you were had been a radio host at the time when I was doing it in the early 90s when I first got out of college, and it had social media like that and dating apps, oh, my life would have been horrible. I probably wouldn't be here today.
Honestly, you should be pretty grateful that you didn't have it, because it's been it's really weird. I want to keep this clean, because you got kind of a clean reputation and a clean show, but I'm talking about, you know, when you do things with girls. When you have so many girls that you talk to and do things with, it almost gets tiring, where it's like, I just turned 30 and I'm like, been in two relationships. They were whatever. I wish them the best. I'm kind of glad I was in it because I learned a lot from it. But there's something to be said about, like, when I was even going through my phone, you know, and seeing all these people I haven't talked to yet, it's almost tiring when you like talk to somebody. Like, imagine this, you talk to somebody for 3 months and then like you never talk to them again. It's very weird.
Yeah, but there's a problem I've never had, that I had so many women that I just got tired of talking to.
I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying, like, it's crazy.
Well, it's a humble brag. I've never experienced that in my life, where I had so many women I'm just exhausted from talking to all these women these days.
Well, it's not even because it was all meeting up with them. It was like, I used to really put an attachment on relationships, especially in my early 20s. I really was like a romantic person. Like, I was very much like, and this is not me talking about my past, but I was very much like, oh, I'm going to get married, I'm going to have kids. And then I love telling people this, all my radio friends, you'll never guess what I did when I turned 28.
What?
I got a vasectomy.
Really?
Yeah, I can get reversed if I want, but I don't really want kids.
Yeah, well, I've had two vasectomies, so there you go. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I got divorced in 2016 and had a vasectomy before that, you know, and then I was like, you know, I'm never getting married again. I never want to, you know, obviously I'm not going to have any more kids. I had two kids from my first marriage. And then a couple years later, I met, who is now my wife, that just, you know, changed my world. And the catch is, she is 24 years younger than me. When we met, I was 48 and she was 24. And so, as you know, it was like, oh, this will be fun for the summer, no big deal. And then summer turned into the fall. And then next thing you know, we've been together like a year. And then 2 years, it was like, okay, well, this is kind of becoming a thing that I got to deal with. And that was one of the things that she wanted to have, at least, you know, I just want to have a child. So now I'm 55. I'll be 56 in May. My wife is 31. And I have a nine-month-old. He'll be 10 months in a couple of weeks. So I've got I have a daughter. My daughter, who passed away and died in a car wreck in 2020, would have turned 25 this summer. My son from my first marriage is 21. He turns 22 in September, and I have a 9-month-old who turns a year in June.
I'm not trying to like bring down the mood or be sad, but yeah. Usually whenever I see that there's like a death within somebody I know, I'll be sad and I'll make a post, but then like, I'm not saying it's a fake sorry, but it's like one of those, oh, I'm so sorry. I remember where I was when I found out that your daughter died, because I'm so close to you as like you being my mentor, that I actually cried for like 5 minutes about it. I felt really sad.
Thank you very much.
I'm so sorry that happened.
No, I appreciate this. You're very kind, and people are overwhelmingly kind. And I've talked about it many times that I don't know. You know, one of the blessings in my life is the fact that we have this radio show, and you know, these people that listen every day. We call them the Ace and TJ Radio family, because I don't know what other people do in these scenarios, because I have so many people that have reached out to me and they've been so kind and so giving, and still, you know, to this day, and it'll be 4 years this July since she passed away. And it's like, they just continue to be super kind, and we have a charity in her name. And it's, you know, it's one of those wonderful blessings that I have in my life, you know, thousands and thousands of people like you, and I appreciate it very much. You're very kind.
You know what I think really helps too is I've seen it in radio. A lot of these, because you guys are edgy enough and funny, but you've never been a shock jock. You've never been a mean radio DJ. And I think it comes from good karma. The fact that you're a good person, you're a good dude, you're a good father, you're a good husband, you're a good radio host, that people root for you. And I feel like if you would have been a jerk to people, I'm not saying people wouldn't have cared as much, but all your listeners, I remember when it happened, all the thousands of comments you had, everybody felt like they knew her because you talked about her on air. And that says a lot about you as a man, that you're not a bad person, you know?
Oh, thank you very much. It's true that she grew up, you know, she was the first child that we had on the show, and she grew up on the show. And we talked about all these experiences and the, you know, becoming a father and what that life was like and all that kind of stuff. Just the same as I do with my son Dax now, because it's a whole new different world that I'm experiencing as a father this time around. But that's one of the beautiful things about radio, and it's one of the things that I think makes it so special, more special than anything else, is that ability to emotionally interact with people and share those types of things. And I don't know of another format that offers that. I don't know of another form of entertainment that offers that in the same way. The immediate give and take. Podcasts don't do it. TV doesn't do it. It's a radio thing. The give it, because you can't call Joe Rogan and talk to him, and you can't just call up, you know, your local TV guy and talk to him. But you can call the radio guy when he tells you a story about something that happened. And then he'll call you, and then you can share your story. You know what I mean? So that's kind of, I think that's part of that emotional bond that you have with listeners that makes it really special, makes radio really special. I'm also fascinated by sharing of yourself. I was watching Stern interviews, which I love doing, because yeah. He's a genius, when I was on the treadmill the other day running. And it's one of those things that has always occurred to me, that if I ever got the chance to meet him or talk to him, or when people have asked about it, Stern had a tremendous impact on my career. Yet on the air, I am nothing like him. Like, our personalities are totally different. But the key is, what I learned from him was, he's true to who he is, which taught me I need to be true to who I am. So like you said, I'm not a shock jock, because I'm just not that person. That's not who I am. I am the person I am, and I share that. But that's one of those things that he does things that I think are fantastic. And they're brilliant. They're entertaining. But it's something I could never do, because it's not in me to do that. But I did learn from him, oh, hey, be true to yourself. Be who you are. And that's kind of what we've done. And I think it's, you know, it served us well through the years.
And I don't know if you know this. I think you do know this. My mom's side of the family, being my Nana, is from Winston-Salem. So I visited North Carolina about maybe 8 or 9 times in my life.
Yeah.
And it's a really great place. I have a love or hate relationship with the South, just being from the North, and it's just so different than the South. But North Carolina is my absolute favorite part of the South. I love everything about North Carolina. I used to go to Bobcat games when they were like 7-72 and they had the worst record.
Yeah, you were the only one going because nobody in town was going to those games.
I love the Bobcats. I don't like the Hornets as much as the Bobcats because I had a Bobcats hoodie. Like I was the biggest fan of the Bobcats.
That's wild. It's one of the interesting things about this area. I mean, I'm obviously not from here originally. I grew up in Louisiana. TJ and I both met in Louisiana. We grew up in the same area in central Louisiana. And through, you know, our radio travels, ended up here. But Charlotte is a city where, and I learned this when I first moved here, very few people are from here. Everybody, it seems, is from somewhere else. And that's what makes it a really interesting city, because I know when the first neighborhood that I moved into when I moved here, my next door neighbor, they were from New York. My neighbors across the street were from New Jersey. My neighbors down the street were from West Virginia. Because of all the types of industries that are here, you know, most specifically the banking industry, which is so huge here, there's such a weird, interesting cross-section of people that very few people are ever from Charlotte, which I think makes it really interesting. So you get a lot of diversity, yet still with some of that Southern flair that I love because, you know, I subscribe to the Lynyrd Skynyrd formula, you know, American by birth, Southern by the grace of God.
What are some of the best parts about Charlotte? I've been through it. I went to a few Bobcat games, obviously, but
yeah.
I didn't spend a lot of time there. Whenever I went, it would be we drove to the game, we got a hotel. I did go to the Billy Graham Hall of Fame, I believe is what it is. I remember that.
Yeah, Billy Graham Library, which is a phenomenal, because Billy Graham was you know, born and raised right here in this area, and they've moved his house to this location, which is just fantastic. Great things about Charlotte. There are a lot of them. But a couple of things that jump out immediately. Location is one. You're 3.5 hours from the beach. You're 3.5 hours from Atlanta. You're 2.5 hours from the mountains. You can be anywhere, anything. Plus, we got a great airport. You can get a direct flight to anywhere.
You do.
So because of the location and because of the airport and because this is a hub for American Airlines, you can get pretty much anything you want. You want to go to the mountains for the weekend? It's a 2.5 hour drive. You want to go to the beach? It's 3.5 hours away. You want to go to a bigger city, to Atlanta? It's 3.5 hours away. Plus, Charlotte has so many things. It's such a growing, explosive city. It always has been. And I don't really know what that thing is, but I have a lot of friends in real estate. And Charlotte is one of those towns that has been immune to a certain extent to any downfall, to any downturn in the economy. Like, Charlotte's economy will go down, but not as much as everybody else's. And when it comes back up, man, it rebounds. And a lot of that may be, you know, the bank, it's the second largest banking center in America, and the home of Bank of America and all these types of things. And that may be, you know, what it is. But it's almost immune to economic downturn. And there's something for everybody here. And I think a lot of people overlook that. It's not as big as Atlanta, but there is a little bit of everything here. And it has its troubles. It has, you know, it's changed through the years, and there are different things, and the city has evolved and all that kind of stuff, you know, everything that goes with that. But it's just a really, really cool place to live.
I'm not trying to sound like a negative Nancy, but I'm not the biggest fan of ATL. I would rather live in North Carolina for sure.
Yeah, well, I would too. I would too. Now, I would like a paycheck that goes with, you know, working in Atlanta. But other than that, it's okay. Yeah, it's just fantastic. And I love the fact that there's always this competition between Charlotte and Atlanta. But you ask anybody that lives in Charlotte, they would rather live in Charlotte than Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta just has this skeezy energy to it. Now, granted, I was just in the Buckhead area because of the morning show boot camp 7 to 8 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's the traffic, and there's just this dark energy to it that it's just, I don't view it as a happy place. You know, even their sports teams are just kind of middle of the road.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. Very much agreed.
So how has everything been going with the morning show? The one thing I've always been a fan of with you guys is that you guys keep reinventing yourself. And that's why, to me, you guys do so well and you still have a job. Because I've noticed, being in radio for 12 years and then just being a fan essentially my whole life, is a lot of the people that were A, either rude to people, or B, didn't reinvent themselves, by the time they were around your age or even sooner, they lost their job and are no longer in radio. So it says a lot about you guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think we're in the process of doing that again right now, literally in the process of doing it right now. Just a few weeks ago, we started something. We're not on in the morning in Charlotte. We're on other radio stations around the region, around the country. But in Charlotte, we do 9 to noon on the station we originally started on, KISS 95.1, where we did mornings for 12, 13 years, whatever it was. And our morning show is heard exclusively on our app if you want to hear it live, or you can download it as a podcast later in the day. And then we decided, okay, so since there is a way that we can record this, and, you know, we record it every morning just before it goes out, so I guess you're hearing it, I guess, not essentially not live, but almost live, within minutes of being live. And then once we've done recording everything, we actually have 2 new shows. TJ does a podcast that airs on our app every day at 10, and then I do a podcast that airs every day at 3. And then obviously you can download them after that. And my podcast is now heard on one of our affiliates as the morning show, with some extra things that I record every morning before it goes out. So we've essentially decided to create more work for ourselves. Recently by expanding to doing more than one show. We do 3 full shows a day. And in my case, because of this other affiliate has taken it as their morning show, I come in and for about an hour from, you know, 4:45 to 5:45, I record a bunch of stuff for them to make sure everything is, you know, timely and as up to date as possible. So we're doing, you know, 3 to 4 shows a day now. I don't know how long we'll be doing it successfully, but for now, that's what we're doing.
Well, I have a day job in radio that I keep low-key. It's my first full-time radio job, and I do it 8:30 to 4:30. And it can be a grind because it's 40 hours a week, and then I do my podcast. And this is my 3rd interview today. I interviewed Eric Zane, who works in Grand Rapids and used to be on Free Beer and Hot Wings. And then I interviewed Rizzuto from the Rizzuto Show in St. Louis. And now I'm interviewing you, and I'm very tired. And last night I went on a local podcast that's pretty popular that was a fan of the old morning show I used to work on in Tampa. And I did that from 8 to 10 p.m. after working from 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. last night, and then going home real quick and then going to bed and then getting up. And I'm just saying that I did my show on Tuesday with my co-host, and we had a record amount of live viewers on all the platforms. Blah, blah, blah. Here's what I'm saying. I've done 27 interviews this year. I'm pretty burnt out and tired, but I'm having the best year results-wise for my podcast. And I noticed the more work you put in, it's almost like you have to work all day, unfortunately, because like that's where you get the results. Because I got into radio right when social media was beginning. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like right when I got into radio and I got my first job, Periscope came out. And then Facebook Live came out. So I'm used to doing a bunch of things. But what I've always respected about you guys is you guys had the app early on. Like you guys saw the future. And that's why you guys do so well with it, is because you guys were doing it early on. And I think the audience can feel how genuine it is. Because now I'm noticing a lot of people are trying to do the podcast thing. And it's like people were saying that at the Morning Show Bootcamp 9-10 years ago and nobody listened. And now they're sort of behind, you know, because there's just, there's so much out there.
That's true. And I give full 100% credit for that to our, he started out as our manager and now he's more of our business partner, Adam Goodman. He was the one that came to us years ago and said, hey, we need to start, you know, this is what's out there. This is what's coming. This is what we need to be focused on. These are the new things we need to try. So we actually, at one point, started doing something called More Show After the Show,
yeah,
which was like an internet exclusive, and it wasn't even being heard anywhere. We were just doing it to kind of see, you know, what is this like? How does it work? It's different. You know, and what does it feel like? It's not being on the radio, because it was such a weird thing. And we started doing that for contractual purposes. So when our next contract came up, and we started, you know, putting it on our website, and because there was nothing about that, we said we couldn't do it in our contract, and immediately they were like, well, you know, we wanted our internet rights, and they don't want to get it. We're like, well, we've already got him. We've already been doing this. So, you know, so he gets full credit for thinking ahead. He was the guy that, you know, said, hey, we need to come up, forget putting it on our website. We need, you know, everybody's going to an app. We need to develop our own app and get that out there. So we've made all the mistakes. You know, that's one of the things with being ahead of the curve, so to speak. We've made all the mistakes. But I can go back to, there was a time that we were trying desperately to convince, 10, 15 years ago, we were trying to convince other radio hosts, our friends in the business, all of them, you know, like, hey, guy, if we all get our internet rights in your contract and we join together, we will end up with millions of hits, millions of downloads that we can sell collectively and keep that money. And we, and everybody was like, I don't really see it. It sounds like we're doing a lot of extra work, you know, that kind of thing.
I kind of think I remember you saying that at the Morning Show Boot Camp, to be honest.
Yeah. And so, and it didn't work out, you know? And so that's, he gets full credit for that. He gets full credit for that.
What's some of the best advice people that you've worked with have given you? Cause you seem like the type of dude that you're always willing to listen to advice rather than like a lot of radio hosts that think they know everything.
The best advice I ever got was from the legendary Kid Craddock. And I've told this story a million times. It's such a great piece of advice. We were terrible at doing games on the radio, and we were at his convention, and we saw an opportunity to talk to him. There was a smoke break, and I was like 24 years old, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to go outside. And I'm not going to, I'll change the wording. Because he was so genuine when he said it. But we walked outside, and we saw an opportunity to talk to him, and I had my little notepad and my pen. And we said, hey, kid, excuse me. Can we ask you a question? He goes, yeah, you know, anything. Smoking a cigarette. And TJ smoked at the time, and TJ was smoking a cigarette. And we said, hey, you know, we're Ace and TJ. We're from Alexandria, Louisiana. We've been a morning show for about, you know, 8 months. And, you know, what's your advice? We're not good at games on the air. You know, what do you think, you know, what's your advice? And he takes a drag off his cigarette, and he goes, yeah, don't effing do them. And I was like, don't do them. What do you mean, don't do them? He goes, don't do them. He goes, and the words that I've never forgotten, why would you do something you're not good at?
Wow.
And I thought, huh, that's a really good point. He goes, if you're not good at it, don't do it. He said, find a way to make it something you're good at. And I went, oh, he goes, you don't have to. And his point was, you don't have to follow a formula. Okay, you've got to figure out a fun way to give something away. Well, you don't have to do some stupid game that everybody in the country does. Not the game is stupid. It's stupid to us because we're not good at it. What are you good at? Do something with that. And I was like, oh, okay. It was just the greatest advice. It's not cookie cutter, man. It's what you're good at. Play to your strengths. And I've used that in speeches, you know, all the time. There's only really two things you need to know in life, what you're good at and what you're not good at. And don't do the things you're not good at. You know, so that's how we built our show. That from that day on, we didn't have a staff, obviously, at the time. But as we added staff, you know, it became, hey, how do we fill in the gaps? Where are we weak? You know, I'm 55 years old. I'm never going to be a social media expert. But I know somebody who is, and he works for us. You know, we made certain that everybody lives a very different life on our show. We like them all. We love them all. We'd all get along. But that was a lesson that we took from him. It's the best lesson that's ever been given to us. That and Jeff and Jer, other mentors of ours, told us one time, care, but don't care too much.
Yeah, I think I've heard yeah. Jeff say that.
Yeah, care about what you're doing. But don't care so much that you can't go with the flow, that you can't have fun with it if it's going south, and you can't lock into, you know, don't get so locked in that if something bad happens, you're like, oh my God. You know, be able to just kind of roll with the changes, roll with the punches, you know. Those are the two best pieces of advice that I've ever gotten. Care, but don't care too much. And then don't, you know, and then play to your strengths.
You know what I've noticed about radio is I've had a lot of moments where something's going wrong on the board and I think it's the end of the world. And what I've learned from a lot of the shows that I worked on that were comedy-based, where they're okay with things going wrong, is that sometimes it's actually better to address it and kind of make a joke out of it, because then you're kind of fixing the problem with the audience rather than ignoring it. Because I've worked on a lot of different shows, and the shows that address the problems are a lot more successful than the ones that freak out because it's not perfect. Because yes. we're
and I learned. Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you a quick story because you know I'm about to run out of time. But I,
you're
but
good.
I learned that lesson very early on in our first. At our first morning show job, back when you had to put things on carts, and for everybody who doesn't know, a cart is just, it's like a loop of tape. It looks like kind of like an old school 8-track. And we used to write these bits with characters, and we were, you know, and you would have the gap where you would have to say your line, and the character was on tape, and your character would, you know, would say his line or her line or whatever, you know, and it was a little comedy sketch that would take you like an hour to write, and it was 2 minutes long and that kind of thing. And we were, TJ and I were just a brand new morning show, and we were doing these character bits, and we had written one of these, and the tape got eaten up in the machine. So as we're talking to it, the tape starts to slow down. So the person we're apparently allegedly talking to on the air, their voice starts to lag. And it's all live. We're doing it live because that's the way we thought it was supposed to be done. Most people tape those things off the air, but we didn't because we didn't like doing it that way. We liked that live energy. But it's going, like, it's dying on the air. And we decided, because we were started laughing at it, at each other, and then we just kept going with it. And we just kept going and kept going. And it became really funny. And when we finished, I thought, well, that was terrible. But, God, that was funny to me. And a record rep happened to be driving into town that day. And I'll never forget him. His name was Neil Harrison from Atlantic Records. He goes, hey, that thing you did today when the tape messed up, he goes, I had to pull over. I laughed so hard. He goes, and that doesn't happen to me. I've been around radio for 30 years. He goes, that's who you are. That was one of the funniest things I have ever heard on the radio. And it that moment has always stuck with me that, you know, that's the epitome of care, but don't care too much because, you know, we were able to make that something really funny and memorable because we went with it. It was happening. And rather than get upset and get frustrated, we just have just rolled with it because that's what you're supposed to be doing, having a good time in the morning.
Well, Ace, I know you have to go, but real quick, if people want to check out your show, how can they listen to the Ace and TJ Morning Show?
Yeah, well, a variety of ways. AceTJ.com, or you can download the Ace and TJ app. Just search for Ace and TJ in your app store and check it out.
Will you be going to the Morning Show Boot Camp this year?
Where is it this year? I forgot.
San Diego.
I do not know. That's in August. I don't think I'm going to make it, but I'm going to try.
I'm in the same boat where I'm 50-50. I have to see where things go in my life, but if things really manifest to the way I want to be, I definitely will be there. So let's put out the energy that we'll both be there because I think it's quite possible.
I would love to see it. And continued success. Yeah. And you work very hard, and that's the key to everything, and I've always been impressed by how hard you've worked. If you ever need anything, you let me know.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ace.
Take care, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye. Happy hour.